So yeah, so my name is Stefan. Again, thank you for coming. This talk will be looking at the analysis of trends in utilization as well as costs of insulin in comparing Canada as well as the U.S. So just one thing I wanted to say, I'm a post-grad, post-PharmD fellow at MCP. My host company is Becton Dickinson, and for those of you who don't know, they're a global medical device company. So they make insulin pens, syringes, but not necessarily the insulin itself. But today, a couple of learning objectives, again, describing some trends and then discussing some potential reasons, explaining these differences we see in the U.S. as well as Canada. So just a quick snapshot here, and these you see the prevalence of diabetes in both Canada and the U.S., their respective years, parentheses there. You do see that pre-diabetes is also a major concern, so definitely a certain percentage of those patients are going to go on to develop diabetes. And in both countries, prevalence is expected to increase as well. A little bit further down, you see the cost of managing diabetes, and comparing this to 2008 data, the prevalence has obviously increased in both countries. So what we did here was a database review. We looked at IMS data, a large database, and what we specifically evaluated was two things. So we looked at volume of insulin sold and insulin units, and as you might know, 1 milliliter of insulin is 100 units, 100 insulin units, just to keep that in mind. And we also looked at the ex-manufacturer sales in U.S. dollars of both countries. And we used descriptive statistics to analyze this. And before moving forward, I just wanted to state the significance of why we're doing this is because insulin has recently been increasing in price. It's been in the news. Higher prices definitely make insulin unaffordable for some patients. And if these patients aren't able to afford their insulin, take their insulin, that might lead to bigger problems. And also keeping in mind the large type 2 patient population, those who are a little bit more elderly there. So what this table is looking at a utilization of insulin in terms of the volume of insulin sold. And we're comparing in both countries, both Canada and the U.S., 2008 to 2014. You see the first row there is the total population of the country. And if we go down to the bottom, the number in bold there, we're looking at the increase in insulin adjusted for the total population. So what this means is that from 2008 to 2014 in Canada, the volume of insulin sold increased 37%. When I say the volume of insulin, I mean the insulin units that were sold increased by 37%. When we look at the U.S., that increase was a little bit less. It increased at a slower rate of 15%. I thought this was pretty interesting. So just matching this to then the prevalence of diabetes, that last row on the bottom there, we see that from 2008 to 2015, the prevalence of diabetes in Canada increased about 37%, so kind of in line with the percent increase in volume of insulin we sold in Canada. When looking at the U.S., the 2012 number was the most recent reliable data, I should say, and we saw an increase of 19%, which roughly matches with 15%. So, you can make of that what you will, but I thought that was interesting how that sort of fell in line there. And what I want to show you here is are some trends. So I'm going to show you Canada first and then the U.S. What we did here was we looked at snapshots of quarter three from 2008 to 2014, because that was the most recent data that we had. On the left are insulin units in thousands, and again, these are the individual units, and we did this because insulin comes in a variety of different forms. It comes in vials and pens, and instead of saying 100 units of insulin, quote-unquote units, you don't know how many of those are vial, how many is a pen, so got to the most granular form of insulin units, which are the individual insulin units. Then time is the x-axis there, and we see a pretty steady increase in the trend there. Nothing too crazy. Hospital maintains their regular, sale or volume of insulin. Vials are falling out of favor as pens are increasing. So nothing too much going on. But the U.S. is a little bit different, and it's quite interesting. So we see a rise of insulin until about this 2011 time period, and then sort of a drop off and plateau, if you will. That first line on the top there is total amount of insulin sold, and you see the legend, how I broke it down here. We could look either at retail, hospital, pens, vial, or a combination of those. So definitely a slowed amount of insulin sold in the retail setting. All the while, insulin in pens is increasing. You see this green line here is insulin sold in vials, is decreasing, in pens, increasing. And just wanted to give you some trend lines. So if you were to project, you know, from 2008 to 2011, you see that it would be increasing at, you know, this higher rate, but then it sort of reshifted to this lower volume of insulin being sold. One thing I wanted to draw your attention to, so, you know, you might think of the U.S. saying, oh, there's so much, you know, diabetes in the U.S., so many patients have diabetes. One thing I just wanted to draw your attention to were these graphs here. So if we look at the prevalence of diabetes, and again, this was an article published in JAMA last year, we can see the prevalence of diabetes is almost plateauing here, and they found that the incidence is actually decreasing a little bit, and this might be correlated to the somewhat of a plateau effect we see in BMI, because we know more obese, more BMI, higher risk of insulin. So I just thought this was interesting. This looked at the U.S. and could be a potential explanation for that slowdown that we do see there. But other reasons, you know, perhaps the U.S. is not utilizing as much insulin as Canada is, and what I mean by that is that table on the right there are all of the drugs approved in the U.S. from 2006 to 2014. To be fair, a lot of these were approved in Canada as well, so it probably doesn't account for the entire you know, slowdown or difference that we do see. But perhaps the U.S. is waiting longer to insulinize their patients using more of these orals or non-insulin injectables. Also, patients, as we'll soon see, due to the cost of insulin, might not be able to afford their insulin. And last but not least, a contributing factor definitely doesn't account for the entire difference, but insulin sold in pens, you know, does account for a little bit less waste than insulin sold in vials. So probably a combination of those factors could explain some of the differences, but these are just, you know, hypotheses. So moving on to the sales. So amount of insulin sold, and this is in U.S. dollars as opposed to insulin units. So again, same kind of thing. We see Canada and the U.S., 2008 and 2014, and again, the total population in both of those years. Adjusting for the prevalence, right, we see that the sales in terms of U.S. dollars in Canada increased at 79%, right? This is the total sales adjusted for population, 68%. And then when you compare that to the U.S., you see that it's a lot more, 212% increase. So that means more than tripled. So we'll just take a look at some graphs here. So this is Canada pre-2011 time period. And if we advance it, we see it, you know, pretty standard there. It actually begins to plateau a little bit. Vials remain low there. And this is the same thing. On the left side, we see the sales in thousands, and on the bottom, on the x-axis, is the timeline there. Then when we go to the U.S., you see, you know, up to this 2011 time period, you know, we see a trend here, but then, you know, it starts to really take off, and the sales skyrocket, and really in every single category here. This green line is somewhat protected. This is looking at the hospital setting, so you wouldn't expect as much of a price increase, but it still does increase there. And then again, just some trend lines to visualize how, you know, this would look on a line graph if it were to be extrapolated out. So comparing now both the insulin units in terms of volume as well as the price of sales to get to what is the average price of one insulin unit. So if we think of a vial of insulin has 10 mLs of insulin. Each ml is 100 units. So, you know, effectively that's 1,000 insulin units in one vial. And if we look in Canada here, we see that there is a 12% increase. So this is comparing both retail and hospital. And U.S. is a lot more, 171% increase. And if you want to get the price per ml, you basically just calculate this number by, you know, by 100 to get the price per 1 ml. In looking at the retail, the pen retail setting, you see the discrepancies here as well between the two prices. And just wanted to give you a quick visualization. Again, Canada plateaus, somewhat decreases actually. And in the U.S., again, in line with sales, it increases. And, you know, it's interesting that even though the amount of insulin sold in the U.S. kind of leveled off, we do see sales increasing dramatically, and that's due to the price per unit of insulin. And I just wanted to show you what we found pretty much applies to this publication here. This was published in Bloomberg, and what this is comparing both Lantus and Levemir. This is 2013 here. And when looking at our findings, we found that the average price in a pen is about $23.20, and that was in Q3 of 2014. So somewhere in here, and we see that the price of Lantus and Levemir is about, you know, a little over 25, and that kind of makes sense because Lantus and Levemir are a little bit more expensive, and this $23 is an average. So it is in line with other findings, and we found that even after our analysis, the price of insulin has continued to increase. So some explanations, you know, you might initially expect prices to be higher, but you certainly don't see prices increasing exponentially like we do here. You know, the government in Canada does have a process in place to ensure that prices are not excessive, and there is no such system like that in the U.S. Some other potential explanations are that the U.S. cannot buy in bulk as a country or as a really broad region, right? They're broken into separate insurance companies. We also don't have comparative research groups in the U.S. comparing different, you know, cost and effectiveness of insulins. And again, insulin is largely a monopoly, right? There's really, depending on what type of insulin you look at, 2 to 3 players in this space here. There are some concerns of patents expiring, people trying to ramp up their price, but at the end of the day, prices increase because they can, and at the end of the day, these are for-profit companies, and if you can increase your price and it's within the bounds of, you know, what you can do, why not? So what I want to show here is a couple of slides, and then I think I'll wrap it up. So North America has about 7% of the world's diabetes population, but it accounts for over half of the world's sales of diabetes, and as we just saw, that's probably largely driven by the U.S. So I want to close with some implications, and that insulin price and you know, this drug prices in general cannot continue to grow at the rate that they are currently growing at. And, you know, measures that are in place in the U.S. are really not working because it's largely not a free market economy, and you know, those factors do not apply to the healthcare industry. So I think that there should be some kind of process in place. I really don't know what that is, and I don't think I'm probably the one qualified to make that suggestion, but there should be something in place, something different than that we do have now, maybe looking to Canada and the U.S. and the EU for their success in maintaining these prices, and that's what I'll leave you with. Thank you.
Okay, so there's about 7 or 8 minutes for questions. Anybody have any?
Could you go back to your next to the last slide? You went past that kind of quickly there.
This year?
Yeah. So you're saying, what's the 52%?
So these are the share of sales of insulin prescriptions. So not the amount, but sales in dollars.
So and over half.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's quite impressive. And you know, earlier this year, I was at ADA, and I actually took this slide from a presentation. You know, I had ADA, and I could tell you that insulin prices were certainly, you know, a topic of debate there as well, because it certainly limits, you know, if you think of lower income, how doctors can prescribe switching maybe to more MPH or some of the older insulins, which, you know, still work but offer less flexibility. So now patients who are not able to afford maybe the more expensive analogs have to switch back and maybe learn how to dose insulin, a different type of insulin. And you can only imagine if that might lead to hypoglycemic events and cascade on from there. So, yeah, it's surprising.
Anybody else?
I was just wondering, and you may have shown it, I just missed it, but is use of the pen higher, I mean, was it increasing during that later time period in the U.S. more than Canada? And could that explain some of the cost increases?
Yeah, I would think so as well. Let me see if I could just quickly switch back to that, because there was something interesting. So over here, and you are right that insulin sold in a pen is increasing in the U.S. And if you look at other markets, you know, Europe and Canada being examples, it's primarily a pen-dominated market, and that insulin sold in a pen and not in a vial. And what I thought was, however, particularly interesting is that if you look, this is insulin sold in the retail setting, so all insulin vials and pens, and then this is just the pen sold in the retail setting. And if you look, pens sold in the retail setting do increase, but the total amount of insulin, so this is pens and vials, increase at a more rapid rate. So what this is telling me is that vials are actually increasing in price more quickly then the pens are increasing in price, and I believe that's probably because the vials have a lot more room to grow because they were priced so low to begin with. But that's true.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, way back.
So I have two questions. What are the reasons for the wage increase in Canada, where they seem to have better controls on price, but there still seems to be a kind of increase? And then my other question is, so my general impression, I think, was at some point, was that in the U.S. we actually pay less for generics versus other countries, but for non-generics, trade, things that are still on patent, we actually
Sure. So I'll take so the second question being that we pay more for, you know, for brand name, if you will, than generics. Insulin, like I was saying, there are largely three companies who manufacture insulin, and you know, insulin's for pretty much all branded. Within, you know, a year, within a short period of time, there will be biosimilars. However, depending on the research you look at, it's only expected to decrease the price by maybe 20-30%. And, you know, price decrease is good, but that's still not, you know, too much. So it could be that this is in line with, you know, your findings in that branded prices in the U.S. are more than other countries. And I think was the second question that although Canada has restrictions in place, the price still increased? Is that? I know, that was a question that came across my mind as well. If you look at the price per unit, I think it was something like 3 cents increased to 4 cents, and there was sort of a plateau effect, if you will. We saw it increasing to a point and then sort of start to level off. So, I mean, that could be some of the pressures from, you know, from the organizations in Canada that are limiting price, but I'm not, you know, too certain as to if they caught it later on or if, you know, I'm not sure how that works, to tell you the truth there.
So if I can just say, in Canada, there are price controls, but what you're probably seeing is a shift from lower price insulins to the newer, more expensive, and that accounts for the increase in the price per unit. Yeah.
No, when we're talking about biosimilars, so that 20-30% is across biosimilar structures. It's got biosimilar levels, including the most complex of them. And insulin would not be considered among the most complex biosimilars. So there's some expectation that insulin would actually be a more significant price decrease because the more complex biosimilars would have a lower effect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. Thank you.
Anybody else? Yeah.
Last
question.
Demographic question. I noticed that the prevalence for, I believe, increased from 6.8% to 9.3% in Canada, mm-hmm. versus 7.8% to 9.3% in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that would be, you know, that would be great sub-analysis. I could tell you that the article that, you know, I showed from JAMA in 2014, although the prevalence was sort of plateauing and the incidence was decreasing, it was kind of disproportional where the lower income and minorities, it was actually increasing in that subgroup. So it could be, I'm not sure though.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
The Aboriginal population in Canada is probably about 3%. I don't know what it is in the States.
It is less.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.